Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, April 17th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 75, the second paragraph. We pocket our pride and go to it, ending walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the Universe. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps of OA, Liz A., 12 Traditions, Bonnie T., readers of the text, Veronica C., Lois P., and Penny L. C. The reference numbers for Sunday, April 16th, is 20,116. That's 20166. And for this morning, Monday, April 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,167. That's 20167. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lorraine N., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of OA. Press star one, Liz.
Yes, good morning, Liz A. from Los Angeles. Thank you, Dawn, for your service. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz A. I'll now ask Bonnie T. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Bonnie T., a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago, Illinois. These are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 75, the second paragraph. We pocket our pride and go to it, ending walking hand in hand to the spirit of the universe. And we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I will now ask Veronica C. to begin reading.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Veronica C. here, and I want to thank everybody that is doing service today and participating in this beautiful meeting. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. So, this is such a beautiful paragraph. I mean, of course, there are no paragraphs that are not beautiful in this beautiful big book. But when I read this and I think about my own fifth step and turning it over to my lovely sponsor, I think what really helped facilitate the feeling that I had of this immense release was that I was willing to take the step to be completely honest in the best way that I could at the time and to be willing to be vulnerable. Now, I wouldn't classify vulnerability as something that I was conscious of, but at the time, I knew that it was important for me to be honest. I knew that there were things in the back of my mind that were important for me to bring out, put down on paper, and then to eventually release and take it to my sponsor. And then subsequently, it is released into the ethers and with God. So it's so important for me to understand that this not only creates a sense of peace and humility, but it also clears my unconscious of all of the things that were really mucking it up in the past, creating a murky underground of this place where I often resided. Because as a compulsive overeater, I had so many secrets, so many things that I either felt ashamed to admit or my pride was in the way and wouldn't allow me to express them. But the issue for me was that I had difficulty in just allowing myself to be authentic, be real, and allow myself to be integrated in the world with loving relationships. I had a definite problem with that. So with this step, I found freedom, and I did find that I was walking on that broad highway with a new sense of peace and freedom. And today, I feel very blessed for that. And I know that my sponsor was directly involved in helping me to complete this important task. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Veronica C., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Danielle W.
Wendy B.
Danielle
WP.
W. Just a second here. Wendy B. And who is that third name?
Debbie P.
Debbie P. Perfect.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Karen N.
Karen N.
Denise C.
And what was that? A.C.?
Denise C.
Very good. Let's stop there. I have Danielle W., Wendy B., Debbie P., Janice P.M., Karen N., and Denise P. Danielle W., go ahead and get us started, please.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, and I am recovered but not cured. I remember the first time that I took this step, I had to find a new sponsor halfway through my fourth step, and I was so certain that my new sponsor, who I didn't know very well, would be repulsed by the person I was and the things that I had done in my life. But I couldn't carry all this around, this burden that I was carrying. And after I finished, she looked at me with such love and acceptance. And the whole world just shifted under me. I remember feeling like I had been dragging this huge anchor around for 50 plus years with all the shame and embarrassment and rage. And I left that day just feeling so much lighter and so healed in a way that, you know, and I had been raised in a religious home and I'd done confession, but this was such a transformative experience for me. And I remember a few days after I had given my fifth step, I was in the grocery store and there had been a girl who, you know, I felt tormented by, and I allowed it, you know, that was part of my disease. I was a doormat, but I had held such resentment and fear, and I remember I ran into her, and I was at peace. I was at peace. Somebody who I would have run and hid from, I was able to be in the presence of and completely stay intact. And it was such a shift in the way that I had lived my life. And there was no more resentment. I saw her as another, you know, troubled person. All those buttons had been dismantled, and she could have her journey and I could have mine. And I just remember thinking, wow, I can live a different life. And the last thing that comes to mind here is, you know, it says we begin to have a spiritual experience. And that really was true for me, because my spiritual experience has continued to grow and deepen, and I'm drawn closer to my maker. But this was really the beginning of that relationship, because the channel was clear and I could start to really feel my higher power's presence in my life. This journey is beautiful. And for everybody that's new, I'm excited for you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. from California. Wendy B., please share with us, followed by Debbie P.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And there is just something so magical, you know, about doing this fourth and fifth step, you know, bearing my soul with another fellow, you know, feeling identified in with, feeling accepted and forgiven, feeling I'm in alignment with my creator, you know, instead of running and trying to hide from my guilt and shame, you know, and hiding from my imperfections in my past, you know, and I have, you know, exposed all my flaws, you know, and I feel just washed clean, you know, and I can look back at my past and see it as a path that I needed to walk through, you know, in order to get to where I am today. You know, and I can see the harms I did to others as growth opportunities for them, you know, as part of the path God had allowed for them, you know, and I'm now on equal footing with all those around me. You know, I'm no longer less than, you know, I can look them in the eye, you know, as equals, and, you know, that we're both children of the Most High, you know, and I can be alone, you know, and relish being alone. You know, I love my alone time with my creator, you know, talking over, you know, everything that's come up, you know, I just feel heard and deeply understood. And I can bring to him, you know, any fear that's surfacing. And, you know, he helps me see where the roots of that fear stem from in my childhood. You know, some of the untruths I have believed and clung to. And, you know, he speaks truth to me and dispels the fear. You know, and I just have a real relationship with my creator. You know, he's no longer just theory in my head. You know, I'm one of his children. I'm one of his sheep, you know, and I hear his voice. And, you know, I turn to him for guidance. And I know I'm no longer alone and insecure. You know, he's inside of me, guiding me and healing me. You know, he's using me to bring peace and calmness to those around me. You know, he wants me to be a channel of love to them. And, you know, and as long as I keep my relationship with him the priority, I can experience neutrality around my other substances, you know, that I used to turn to for ease and comfort. You know, he's the one that can truly satisfy my hunger and my want for more. And I just am so blessed. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Debbie P., followed by Janice P.M.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I'm a happily recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. I intentionally didn't share last week.
We seem to have star one, Debbie. Can you press
can
star
you hear
one?
Me now?
Oh, there we go.
Okay,
perfect.
Sorry about that. Okay. My name is Debbie P. I'm a happily recovered compulsive eater from Indiana. Thank you so much, Dawn, and everyone who makes this meeting possible today. I intentionally waited to share so I could share this paragraph because it has a newfound meaning for me after my last experience of working through the steps, specifically step five. And, you know, most generally, when I have shared this step, you know, my sponsors have, and many sponsors have said that, you know, they didn't hear anything from me that they themselves either haven't done or haven't heard somebody else had been the same way. And so that made me feel relief, basically. And then the biggest thing about this step that I found last year I'm 14 and a half months abstinent now. And when I worked through this step last year, I was told that from the part that says, "We are delighted," and the rest of the paragraph, those are the fifth step promises. And I had never heard that before last year. And the way that this, the fifth step promises helped me was I was instructed that if I don't feel these promises, I probably still have something in step four that I need to uncover. I need to uncover some more treasures. And when I worked through this last year, I thought, oh, well, I got everything down. There's no reason why I need to go back through, but I wasn't feeling those, promises. So I did have to go back through and, you know, reluctantly and, you know, pouting like I do, I went back through and I worked some more step work, fourth step around around what was going on with me. And again, I did not feel those promises come true for me yet. So I had to go back a third time and, you know, I finally got to the root of what was bothering me. And I did start to feel those promises start coming true for me. I started to feel just like a new person almost, without being a new person. I started, you know, my creator was in charge and I was willing to let my creator be in charge. I still hear my creator today, thank goodness, because my thinking is not rational. But when I work with a sponsee on this particular step now, I ask them the same question, you know, have you felt these promises? If not, let's go back and see what's keeping you from feeling them. Let's keep working it until you get to it, because, you know, there's no better feeling than to get through these steps. And I know, you know, it can be very scary. It can be very time consuming to work these steps and then to have to go back and do it again and again. That was my pout, but thank goodness that I still had the willingness to work through those because, again, I am recovered today, and it was because I kept going back and digging in. So anyway, I will pass with that. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Debbie P., and congratulations on your 14 and a half months. Beautiful. Janice P.M., please share with us, followed by Karen Ann.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Janice P.M., and I live in Massachusetts, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Well, I can say that, you know, being in the program a long time, I thought I could fool everybody, especially fool my higher power, and give him reasons why I didn't want to tell this particular secret or restitution. But, you know, my pride, thinking so highly of myself that I justified and I gave good reasons why, you know, I demanded, you know, these sort of things because, you know, God, you know, that's why I have to do this. Imagine me telling God that he knows, he sure does know, the my God of understanding. And, of course, my pride was so high, thinking of myself so high, that that's a misuse of instinct. And, you know, it's under social instincts. And, of course, I don't know about everybody else, but I certainly thought that was pretty good to be secure. But it wasn't. I had a very low self-esteem, but I appeared like I had a high self-esteem. You know, but with this particular step, I'm telling you, I became so free. I had such a sense of belonging. It was so exhilarating. It was the beginning of like true kinship with my sponsor, with fellows, and with God. You know, my ego was so deflated. And of course, you know, I went through a few fifth steps, but I always kept this one secret not told because what would you think of me? And, of course, I had no freedom from addiction and peace of mind because I had those tormenting ghosts of yesterday where, oh, I feel so free today, you know. And I prayed, God, please give me the strength to face my own responsibilities, because I couldn't even see it. I was just so into denial and justifying that, you know, I couldn't see to unburden myself from my problems, from my selfishness. So I was so selfish. I didn't rely on God. And it says here, the very first sentence, illuminating. That's what pride does. Excessive pride. It exposes me to the light. I am so delighted and so delightful that now I do have a relationship with the God of my understanding. I feel, perfectly at peace, not right away. Thank you very much, Jim. But it grows. It grows. It's the first time. It's like I said, the first time that I had a kinship with God and another person. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Karen N., please share with us, followed by Denise, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. And just excuse me one second, Karen N., just wanted to quickly remind people, we're on page 75, the second paragraph. We're talking about where it says, we pocket our pride and go to it, when we're talking about that entire paragraph today. So if you'd like to share, get ready. Karen N., please share with us.
Yes, thank you so much for your service and allowing me to share today. This is Karen N., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share that, you know, we pocket our pride. And when I came into program, I didn't know that I wasn't pocketing pride. I thought that I was really kind and, you know, thoughtful and all this other stuff. And I just had an eating problem. You know, I just had a, you know, if I could just come to the right diet or come up with the right thing, that would solve all my problems. And to come into this program and have such a different thing set before me, it was like somebody, one of the sponsors said, oh, you're stuffing your emotions. I'm like, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? Very pridefully. Of course I knew I wasn't doing that. Well, the truth was I didn't even know I had emotions. Every emotion that I had, I thought was hunger. So, I'm feeling that's hunger. Oh, I'm feeling that's hunger. And everything was hunger. I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I was completely unaware that my perception of reality was true. And my perception was that I was just hungry a lot, you know. But the truth was, once I went through these steps, that hunger got lifted. So I even went to a therapist once, and she said, you know, secrets keep us sick. And when she said that to me, I was like, huh, secrets keep us sick? Well, I'm going to, you know, I told my sponsor I'm willing to go to any length to get this, because I had tried every diet. I had tried, you know, hypnosis. I had tried, you know, I have a wall of self-help books. I had gone to church. I had studied. I was a chaplain. I mean, I was willing to do everything, but until I followed the steps with this recovered sponsor, not just one, it actually took me several, because there was so much that I just really did not understand. And, you know, at one point I was just so desperate, because I knew I did not want to have my daughter find me dead next to the toilet after throwing up one more time. And it was just too important for me to recover. And thank God for this program, because I was delighted. And I have been delighted. And over the years, I've had to do the steps with different sponsors for different reasons. And, you know, it's not up to me. And when I do that every single time, I am delighted and I grow spiritually. And I just can't thank God enough for making me a compulsive overeater and bulimic, because I wouldn't have the relationship that I have with my higher power today. I wouldn't even understand that I didn't have a relationship. I mean, I just didn't understand. I didn't know what I didn't know. Anyway, thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Karen N. Denise P., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. This is Denise P., compulsive overeater from Tennessee. My fifth step was very painful and scary, but I knew I had to share everything with my sponsor. I had to be open and honest, and it was extremely hard. But after I shared everything and told her everything, I didn't feel happy or light or able to face the world. I still felt maybe a little relief, but not what I was wanting. But gradually, I stayed in the program. I'm starting now, recently, to be able to look people in the eye. I'm able to face the world. And I'm so thankful that it's happening now. I know I couldn't have done this without my higher power holding my hand. And by learning more and doing two-way prayer, it has been slow changes, but I have seen changes, and I'm very thankful, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Denise C. from Tennessee. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Michelle H., Washington.
I heard Michelle. And Michelle, what's your initial?
F as in Frank.
Okay. And who else?
Miriam H.
I heard Miriam H. Okay, and what other voice was there in that mix?
Julie H.
Julie H. Was there another voice as well?
Susan P. from Georgia.
Elaine A.
Susan P., Elaine A., and I'll take one more name. Okay, we'll go with this lineup, and then we'll...
Amanda A., California.
Amanda A. Okay, very good. All right. Michelle F., please get us started, followed by Miriam H. Go ahead, Michelle.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. I'm sharing on this part because I wanted people to realize that there are people for whom this is not the case. I hear fifth step promises, and I get kind of angry. I didn't have a good fifth step. I was sharing on my sex inventory, and I'm a sex and love addict and an incest and rape survivor, and my sponsor reacted to something that I said and then said, nope, no, I didn't. Nope, everything's fine. But I was overcome with a wave of shame because I saw that, and she said, how do you feel when I left? And I said, like dirt, like nothing. Very ashamed. I went home and I sat an hour with God, and I was sad and hopeless and confused. I really thought I was going to walk out with this big list of character defects, and I even asked her to help me write a list of them, and she gave me some. So, I hate hearing absolutes on the line. I want everybody to get a well-rounded experience. And that for me, I had to go to another fellowship. And I found out also in the course of working in that other fellowship, I'm autistic. And a lot of times I've read in the rooms that the steps are not particularly trauma-informed. So you're not always going to have this textbook response to this. I love the hope I hear on the line. I'm abstinent today. I struggle with the connection with my higher power, but I feel I have one. And, hello, can you still hear me? Nope. I'm getting the feeling I'm not being heard.
Yes, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, you're coming across loud and clear.
Where did I cut out?
You didn't cut out.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't hear anything on the other line. I thought perhaps I was talking to myself.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to say I'm not entirely hopeless. I'm abstinent today. I still have struggles, bad days with the food, but I'm abstinent through it. I have a tenuous, but I do have a relationship with my higher power. I sponsor. My biggest struggle now is leaving the house, going to face-to-face meetings, because that's what led me to the other fellowship. I wasn't able to go. Okay, thank you very much. So I just encourage people to keep a realistic hope and to work this program to the best of your ability. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you for sharing. Michelle F. Miriam H., please share with us, followed by Julie H.
Hi, good morning. I'm Miriam H. from Southern California. Thank you. This is Dawn? Dawn?
Yes.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you. Thank you for being of service to the group. I like hearing your voice on Mondays. You know, I like this paragraph. It's been the process and the willingness to follow direction. I came back to OA, over 8 years ago, and 5 minutes from our house was several meetings that I started back in at, and I was obsessed with sugar and high-fat food, and it took me to just such hate and such shame. And I just remember going to that meeting, and there was a famous ice cream store right at the corner that always called to me. And I remember it no longer called to me, and now it's no longer there. But, you know, I went to inventory, writing to the best of my ability, all of my secrets, and you know, we're as sick as we're a secret. And, you know, I went to sponsor just, you know, shaking inside, shaking that they would know of my past, of my betrayals, of my dishonesty. I was that original. I think the point is that I was willing to follow the instructions. And as far as my current relationship with a higher power, you know, that's also something that's a process. And I find that the more I turn to my higher power, the more that I have the presence in my life, and I've really gotten a lot out of starting my day with the On Awakening. And I just love the writing here. You know, we feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And I really truly believe that, you know, doing the steps, especially for me, inventory, I did feel elevated. And I felt I was a part of the fellowship. And I've always believed that it's in the fellowship that I began a relationship with a higher power, because what was so important is you all had one, and I wanted what you had. So great paragraph for me, really dynamic shares, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Miriam H. Julie H., please share with us, followed by Susan P.
Hi, I'm Julie H. from Washington State, a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I have had three weeks in the program and 3 weeks abstinent as of yesterday. I am in another 12-step program, and I've been sober for over 3.5 years. And when I first took my fifth step back then, God placed me with the most perfect sponsor for me at the time. And I had so much built up anger in me and resentments and the whys. I was the why factory, the why me's. And after I did this, I had, I was a completely different person. Most of my anger was leaving and it was going away. But as I came into this program 3 weeks ago, got a sponsor right away, and again, God put me with the perfect sponsor for me. I started working the steps as if I'd never worked them before. And I had some things that were on there that obviously the other stuff from my prior had buried. And as I started working through my food issues, my restrictions, they go way back to when I was a kid. And those have affected my relationships with my sister and my mom today. I will go through years without speaking to my sister. And so I've been able to get all of that out. Now, there are spiritual things that have happened to me during this process this time. I do not yet feel all the relief because I still have some unfinished business that I need to do in my eighth and ninth. I don't owe any amends, but I have a lot of things I need to get out and put pen to paper. And my sponsor has been working with me on how to do that. So I have a completely different broadened horizon on these 12 steps now that I didn't have prior to, and looking at everything in a different manner and looking at everything again has been a blessing for me. And to this point, I have been able to stay off the scales for those 3 weeks. And I was probably 10 times a day weigher, if not more. And so things that I have prayed about and put into my morning prayers the same way I did with my alcohol problem. So far, as of today, God has continued to give me the help I need and remove what character defects I have.
Time.
To go down the bad. So anyway, thank you so much, and I love this topic.
Thank you so much, Julie H. from Washington. Susan P., please share with us, followed by Elaine A.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Can I, yeah, my name is Susan P., and I'm from Georgia. And when the reading was done, the word that popped out at me was pride. Now, briefly, where I'm at in the program is I've been abstinent since February 25th, and I'm in the middle of a fourth step, so the fifth step is coming up. And but I have been in the program for many, many, many years. And, you know, I never lost, even though I was up and down and whatever, you know, for the year, many years, I always believed that the program worked, and I knew that my main problems were pride and fear. And fear is probably for many of us, the fundamental character defect. And I never could understand why I could not let them go. And now that I'm in a much deeper place, I understand now that I needed my pride because it was a source of self-esteem. You know, I'm a child of the 60s, you know, and it's cool to be rebellious, not follow directions. And, you know, I'm intellectually pretty smart, although there's a speaker who used to say he never knew anyone too stupid to get this program, but he's known a lot of people too smart, and that's me. But, I mean, I clung to this intellectual snobbery and defiance because it was a source of self-esteem, and I never really understood that. And also, I'm experiencing a very, very strong need of community and connectedness, which is a little scary. You know, it's vulnerable, but the vision meetings helped me so much. And as far as those promises go, you know, I'm not terminally unique. I hope they come true for me. But I find it's safer for me to just take the actions without expectations and just do it. And because, you know, I heard someone say that frustration is the discrepancy between expectations and reality. So I really relate to the speaker who said they had to go back over and over again. And, you know, my ear was open to that. And maybe I may have to do that too. And maybe the reason I've done a few fifth steps in my life and never had those promises come true. But maybe it's not that I just didn't go deep enough. So I'm going to, you know, trust the process, trust my sponsor. I have a wonderful sponsor. And hope for the best with as few expectations as possible. And just do it. That's it. Do it. Just do it. And that's all I've got. Thank you for letting me share, and thanks for your service.
Thank you so much, Susan P. from Georgia. Elaine A., please share with us. And we only have time just for a couple minutes share, Elaine A. And I'm sorry, Amanda A., we won't have time for you today. Please come back tomorrow. Elaine A., please share.
Elaine A., I got disconnected. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you just
Elaine
fine.
Elaine A.,
yes.
Bless your heart.
Yes.
You know, starting on Monday and hearing your voice gives me a sense of well-being. Thank you for your service, Dawn. If something is God's will, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, and everybody does. If something is God's will, it's like you're on the King's Highway and all the lights are green. Otherwise, it's red lights, arguments, snags, delays, disappointments, red tape, bullshit. You get the picture. But when I picked up the book, I put down the food. And on that happy note, I pass. Give yourself a good day.
Thank you so much, Elaine A. And Amanda A., we have just a few, like a 45-second share if you want to share. Amanda A.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your lead. I would love to jump in real quick. And I'm just so grateful to be on the line this morning and with everybody and hear everyone's story. It's so beautiful. So with that, I just want to say that when I came into the program, I wasn't initially willing. And then what I did was I prayed for the willingness to be willing. And A Vision for You has given me the tools to put down the food and work the steps fearlessly. And as I continue to go through these steps, it is such a beautiful process. And things just keep, these promises were small at first, but they keep getting better. So keep coming back. Keep going deep, and with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Amanda A. Great way to end the meeting. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book. If you're a newcomer, please stick around. We're going to give you a chance to announce your names and numbers shortly, if you haven't done so before. And we're going to now hear a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Dawn, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.